Well, that song right there reminds us that Jesus is life. Amen? And you've been studying, we've been studying through the book of Philippians. Take your Bibles, find Philippians chapter 3, if you will. And it is so good to be home, so good to be with you. And thank you, Pastor Derek. And thank you, Parkway Baptist Church. Indeed, thank you for, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, thank you for your partnership in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from the first day until now. Paul also writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, he says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel is advancing. And that's what I want you to know also. The gospel indeed is advancing. Churches are being planted, churches are being strengthened, people are being mobilized, nations are being reached. Amen? And I know sometimes we can often wonder, we're getting ready for this unique situation we have in Virginia of an election this Tuesday for all of our statewide and countywide offices. And folks will be wondering, and there's different ideas out there right now about, well, who's going to be in charge of Virginia after Tuesday and then after the inauguration? Bottom line is this, is I don't really know, all right? I don't know who will be elected governor, and all of us ought to vote, but rest assured, Jesus is going to be Lord. Amen? I mean, the gospel is advancing. And as Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, and as the pastor has aptly titled this sermon series, Jesus is what, church? Jesus is life. Say that with me. Jesus is life. So take your Bibles in hand, Philippians chapter 3. Stand with us in honor of God's word. All of God's people standing together. Let's look at verse 12. And we're going to read down through chapter 4, verse 1. Of course, this past few weeks, as you've been walking through the book of Philippians, if you haven't been here, if you've missed a Sunday here or there, do like I've done, log in. The church is so good to us now. You can watch what you missed the week before, and you can get the context, because there's a lot to take in here in the book of Philippians. As Paul is making this point to this church that he so dearly loves, that Jesus is life. And so we pick it up here now in verse 12, and he gets extremely practical with the Philippians. He says in verse 12, not that I've already obtained this. Now we're going to have to go back and nail down what this is. He says, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect or mature, but he says what? I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, he says, straining or stretching forward to what lies ahead. He says this again in verse 14. What's he say? I what? Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies. Not everybody is going to walk in a way that shows us that they love Jesus. Not everybody loves Jesus. Some people want to bleep Jesus out of their lives. He tells them, walk according to the example you have in us. Because he says, some walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, but their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But what? Your citizenship, yes, you're a citizen of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Most likely you're a citizen of the United States of America, but as a follower of Jesus, where is your citizenship? It is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body. But the power that enables Him, by the power that enables Him, even to subject all things to himself. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Let's pray. Father, Thank you. Thank you for the book of Philippians. Thank you for your word and the encouragement it is to us this morning. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, will just submit to your examination of our hearts and our souls and our minds today. Father, if there's anyone in this room right now that is not really sure that Jesus, that you're their life, God, we pray today that they will turn to you, the way, the truth, and the life, because no one comes to the Father but by you. So, Lord Jesus, I pray now as we study the Word of God over these next few moments that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you and be seated. Paul reminds us of his love for athletics. Do you notice that? He says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal. Now, back in Paul's day, they didn't have cable television and they didn't have sports networks and all that. But it makes me wonder if they had, if Paul wouldn't have had every single sports channel they had to offer, because he seems to love this athletic imagery. And that's what you have here. And he's writing to an audience. He's writing to the Philippians and Philippi is located in the northeast corner of the Macedonian and Greek peninsula. If you look on a map today, you'll see right there, Philippi was located right there in that northeast corner. And the Greeks love sports too. They love their Olympics. They love the Greek games, the Isthmian games to be specific. And it just got me thinking this week, reading through this passage, of some of my favorite, some of those favorite Olympic moments. For instance, I think about in 2004 in Athens, actually, when the women's soccer team won gold in overtime. You remember that? Maybe you're watching that. Go back in time with me a little bit, and some of you, you won't remember this, but back in the previous century, 1984, do you remember Mary Lou Retton? She earned that all-around title. Oh, how do you do, Mary Lou, they used to say, all right? Jesse Owens, now I don't know if any of us remember this, but 1936, running there in Nazi Germany, he wasn't supposed to win. He was counter to everything evil Hitler stood for, but oh, he raked in the gold medals. And what about Carrie Strug? 1996, part of that Magnificent Seven. Remember, she'd injured her leg and her ankle, but then, man, she vaulted, and we all stood to our feet, and man, that little girl stood strong, didn't she? And she showed us what she's made of. Michael Phelps, Michael Johnson, all kinds of dream teams. Florence Griffith Joyner becoming the fastest woman of all time in Seoul in 1988. But I have to give a shout-out, by the way, to one of my favorite teams, and it's not a USA team. Got to remember the Jamaican bobsled team. Got to give them a shout-out, all right? I mean, they were so inspirational, they had to make a movie about them, all right? But, of course, I think a lot of folks would remember, and this has been rated one of the most inspirational moments of all time. Remember 1980, Lake Placid, the miracle on ice. In fact, I was reading about that, and they believe, many folks think that it was actually at that moment in 1980 when the chant USA, USA actually came into being. You see, when you think about Olympic athletes, you can't help but think, man, I mean, for someone to do what like a Carrie Strug was able to do, to run like Jesse Owens, to be one of those gold medalist hockey players, I mean, for many Olympians, sports, that particular sport becomes their life. But Paul tells us right here, look with me closer. He says in verse 12, not that I've already attained this. What is this? What was it that you were chasing after, Paul? What is the gold medal of your life? Look back. He says, not that I've attained this. Go back up towards verse 8. He says, indeed, I count everything. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For Paul, what was the life change? What was the difference maker? What was the pinnacle? Was knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. He says, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. Oh, he tried that. He tried having righteousness on his own, and maybe you have too. I mean, Paul had tried living that Pharisee of a Pharisee's life. He is born, as he tells us, a Hebrew of Hebrews, born in the tribe of Benjamin, but yet Paul did not find righteousness in all those things. He finds his righteousness, he says, through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Verse 9. And then he says this in verse 10, he says, that I may know him. This is the ultimate goal, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's power, folks, power that raises someone from the dead. That's life-changing. And may share his sufferings. May share his sufferings. You see, even if you find yourself going through suffering, here's one of the Christian paradoxes of all time. It is in suffering that we often find ourselves with the opportunity to experience the closest fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Knowing him, experiencing his righteousness, experiencing his power, experiencing his fellowship, and one day even attaining the resurrection from the dead, the glory of Christ itself. This is the goal. This is what I am chasing after. You know, when you look at Paul's life, you see a man who, in a resounding way, says, Jesus is my life. I mean, when you read through the book of Philippians in chapter 1, you see that Jesus is the purpose of his life. He says to live is Christ and to die is gain. You see in chapter 2 that Jesus is not only the purpose of his life, but is the pattern of his life. And he calls us back to look at Jesus himself and for us to exchange a self-centered way of life for a servant-oriented way of life. And here in chapter 3, which we focus on today, you see that Jesus is the very prize of life. He says anything else, it's like trash, it's like rubbish. Just nothing compares to what we have in Christ. In the next few weeks, as you walk through chapter 4, you'll see that Jesus is also the power in my life. You see, Jesus is life. But here in this particular portion of Scripture, in verse 12 that we read and following, he uses some action-oriented words. He says things like, I press on, I hold true, join in, and stand firm. You see, for Paul, he says Jesus is life, and he's life-changing. But he wants us to understand something. Here's the big point of today, and just get this down. He says this, he says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect or mature. He says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Here's the big idea I want you to walk away with today. We have not arrived. So Jesus changes us day by day, step by step, to be more and more like him. He says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I mean, Paul had been a Christian for over 30 years, but he says, I'm not satisfied. I haven't arrived. Look at your neighbor, look at your husband, look at your wife, say, you ain't arrived. Go ahead and say it right now. Go ahead and say, look at a person next to you, say, you ain't arrived. Go ahead and tell them. You've been wanting to tell him all week long, all right? Say, you ain't there yet. You see, Paul looks at us and he says, I want you to know we have not arrived. Now, you need to look at him right now and say, I haven't arrived either, all right? See, we have not arrived. So what does Jesus do? Jesus changes us day by day, step by step, to be more and more like him. You see, these Olympic athletes, they have to have focus. They have to have determination. They have to have strength. But they also have to have something else. They have to have a bit of dissatisfaction. They have to have some drive. They have to know, you know what? I'm not quite there yet. I mean, how on earth could you, if you're Michael Phelps, not have a long time ago been satisfied with how well you swim? But he keeps practicing day after day after day because he knows, you know what? I haven't arrived. Now, here's a caution. Some people will, if you just read that, might say, you know what? That's right. That's what I thought all along. I've heard people say that being a Christian is all about grace and it's all about Jesus. But I just knew down deep that part of this is in me, that I've got to gut this out, that I've got to work for my salvation. I've got to work for my place in heaven. I've got to work for my gold medal. And you could not be more wrong. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this in verse 12. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But then catch this, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Oh, he says you got to work out your salvation, but don't misunderstand. He never says you got to work for your salvation. You work out because he works in. You see, we work out because Jesus is working in us. You see, he says right here, but I press on to make it my own in verse 12 because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He's already made it clear in the first portion of chapter 3 that we're saved, that we belong to Jesus, that it is all about Jesus and his righteousness. But yet he says, you know what? I'm not mature yet. I'm not perfect yet. That's why we haven't arrived. So you see, Jesus is life, but Jesus is also life changing. And what I want you to see is I want you just to see here the goal. Now I could show you some goals, and I bet you could tell me what they're the goal for, couldn't you? Just look at this picture here. Show them one of those goals, guys. Now, what's that a goal for? What sport? Soccer. Show them another goal. Now, what's that a goal for right there? Football. And some of y'all answer that. I bet you've never played on a professional football team. Here, I think I've got one more. Look at this goal right here. What's that sport? Basketball. You see, you know the goal. But as a follower of Jesus, do you know the goal? Do you know the goal? Here's the goal. Paul says the goal is to become more and more like Jesus. In a word, the goal is Christ's likeness. The goal is Christ's likeness. Paul's goal as a follower of Jesus, he says here, listen, I haven't already attained this. I'm not perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Oh, I'm saved. Yes, I am. I am saved. But oh, I'm being sanctified. He's still being sanctified. God is maturing him. He is perfecting him. He is working in his life. So Paul, in response, is working out in his life. Over in Romans chapter 8, just listen to this, Romans 8, 29, the Bible says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. But how does this practically work out? Just jot some of these key words down. Here's some strategy for us. Number one, get this. Jesus changes us as we press on toward the goal of Christ's likeness. He says it twice in the text. In verse 12, he says, but I press on to make it my own. And down in verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on. It means to pursue. It stresses an active commitment to the call of Christ in our lives. It's the idea of following after, chasing after. It literally means that. It means literally, I'm chasing after this. I am pressing on. He says in verse 13, I'm even straining forward to what lies ahead. I am striving. I am straining. What does it mean to press on? Well, it means to have a dissatisfaction, but it also means to have a concentration. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. This one thing I do. You see, an athlete has to have concentration. May 6, 1954, Roger Bannister was the first man in history to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Within 2 months, though, John Landy had eclipsed the record by 1.4 seconds. So, on August 7, 1954, the two met to race one another head-to-head. Into the last lap, Landy is in the lead, but Landy does something that would cost him the race. You know what he did? He looked back to see where Bannister was, and right in that split second, Bannister passed him by. You see what sometimes we do in our Christian lives is we look back and we get distracted. Now, sometimes we look back at the failures, but let me tell you what another risk is. Sometimes we look back and we glory in our past successes. Can't do either one. You got to press on. You got to press on toward the goal of Christ likeness. But you got to have more than just dissatisfaction and concentration to press on. You got to have motivation. That's what he says in verse 14. Why? He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Never forget why you're running this race. Never forget why you're pressing on toward the goal of Christ's likeness. He tells us right here in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I press on because knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection, sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings, oh, that is worth more to me than anything else I've ever had in my life. Determine today that knowing Jesus is Lord surpasses anything else you could glory in your life. Press on toward the goal of Christ's likeness. But he goes on, he says this in verse 15. He says, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true. Let us hold true to what we've attained. Now, if you're have a different translation of the Bible than me. If you have a New American Standard, for instance, it's going to say, keep living by the same standard. If you have a King James, it's going to say something like, let us walk by the same rule. You see, right here, we're reminded we're going to have to hold true to the Word of God as Jesus changes us. Hold true to the Word of God. Hold true to the Word of God. You know, we're going to have to run the race. He tells us right here, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Let those of us who are mature think this way. You see, we're going to have to get in the race of maturing in Christ. And some people, well, you know what? They just have a careless attitude. I can't have a careless attitude. I need to care about Christ likeness. I need to not just run the race, I need to keep the rules. I need to hold true to the standard of the Word of God. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying right here in verse 16. It's the idea, it's a military term, of walking straight in line. It's the idea of marching in lockstep with the standard you've been given as a soldier. It's the picture of holding true to the principles and the teachings of God's Word. Am I in line with the Word of God? Am I holding true to the Word of God? And we live in a day and age where just as much as any other day and age, people are all about, well, what's your opinion about this? What do you think about this? Bottom line is this, is if we're going to press on toward the goal of Christ's likeness, we're going to have to, number two, hold true to the Word of God. We've got to hold true. We've got to hold true to the Word of God. We're going to need to tap into his resources. You know, he gives us the Spirit of God. He gives us the Word of God. Jesus says in John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. As a follower of Jesus, you can do, as Philippians 4 will tell us, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. And you have the Word of God in your hands to guide you. You know, when you're playing in a sports event, you can have all the opinions you want to about the rules. You can be a player out there on the field, and you can say up and down. You can say, I caught the ball, I was in bounds. You can be a coach saying, he caught the ball in bounds. You can be one of the thousands in the stand saying, he caught the ball. But it really comes down to one guy, doesn't it? Who's it come down to? The referee. Did you catch the ball in bounds? And what it really comes down to is God saying, that's true. That's true. And I rejoice, I praise God that this church continues to hold true to the Word of God. We press on. We hold true. Thirdly, we need to join in. We need to join in, verse 17. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example. You know, we're going to have some good examples. But he tells me, he says, listen, some act like enemies of Jesus. Oh, there's going to be bad examples. But here's the key. You need to join in. You need to join in. Join in how? This is interesting. In verse 20, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. You join in as citizens of heaven. You know, to compete in the Olympic Games back in the time of the Philippians, you had to be a citizen of one of the cities to compete in the Olympic Games. And just like now, when we have our Olympics, when the Winter Olympics take place next season in Korea, you're going to see people line up depending on the country of their citizenship. Here's a simple word for us today. We need to never, ever forget where we're citizens. We are citizens in heaven. We are citizens in heaven. So that's why right now, while we are in this foreign land, while we are pilgrims on this foreign soil, oh, does that mean sometimes that the language isn't going to match heaven's language where we live? Yep. Not everybody at your school is going to talk the way Jesus wants them to talk. They're not going to sound like heaven, but you ought to. Why? Because you're a citizen of heaven. My wife tells me whenever I just simply cross the Virginia-North Carolina line and my car crosses into North Carolina, she says my Carolina accent goes into overdrive. It's hard for me to deny where I come from. It ought to be clear in our speech that we're citizens of heaven. It ought to be clear in our goals that we're citizens of heaven. It ought to be clear in our love and our longings that we're citizens of heaven. Join in. That's one of the things I love this vision statement that our leadership here has come up with. Walking together. Real people. Walking together in Christ. Inviting others. Serving together. Why? To reach our neighbors in the nations. Walking together in Christ. So hear the invitation today. Press on. Hold true. But oh, join in. Join in. There's one more thing I want you to catch today. And in some sermons and in some Bible studies, they would end right there. But Pastor Derek, I really like that you included this verse in today's text. Look at chapter 4. He says, therefore. Okay, so you're pressing on. You're holding true. You're joining in. We haven't arrived. So therefore, my brothers. You see, he changes the tone there. It's like he goes from this athletic tone to this family tone, this fatherly tone, this brotherly tone. He says, brothers, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, you're my joy and crown, stand firm. Thus in the Lord. Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. There's one last piece that needs to be in your strategy of Jesus changing our lives and us becoming more and more like Christ. Oh, we're going to have to press on. We're going to have to hold true. We're going to have to join in. But oh, never forget to make sure you're always leaning on the Lord. Stand firm thus in the Lord. I want to try to show you a video from what actually is my favorite all-time Olympic moment. Guys, Watch this. Derek Redmond walked away from 1992 Barcelona as the most talked about athlete. And technically speaking, he was disqualified. Here's what they said afterwards about his father. They tried to stop his father several times from getting to Derek. And reportedly, Mr. Redmond said, "You don't understand. That's my son. And you're not going to keep me from getting to my son." Don't think you have to run this race on your own. Oh, it involves us pressing on. It involves us holding true. It involves us joining in. But don't ever miss that it also absolutely involves us standing firm thus in the Lord. You're not running the race on your own. Paul would go on to say in the next chapter, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Oh, get on the track. Press on. Walk together. Run the race. But never, ever forget. He's with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I want to ask you to stand to your feet if you would as Pastor gets ready to come and praise team comes. Privileged to always share God's word. Thankful for how Pastor Derek points us week in and week out towards Jesus. Because Jesus is life. And Jesus is life changing. You see, Jesus is changing. Not just Paul, not just me, but us. So today, here's your opportunity. Number one, is Jesus your life? Are you standing firm in Him, or are you trying to do this on your own? You need to come forward today and just say, "Pastor, I need Jesus in my life." He and others are going to walk with you through that. Maybe you've never really joined in. It's time to join in. It's time to join in. We have examples here you'll benefit from, and guess what? You'll end up being an example for others to benefit from. So join in. Father, I pray now as we sing this song, as folks may come and kneel in prayer, just professing their leaning upon you, as others may come and ask Pastor Derek to lead them to you, Jesus, as others may come to say, we're joining in. We're joining, and we're going to walk together with this church family in Christ. God, I pray your blessing here. God, thank you for their partnership in the gospel. Thank you for their faithfulness and holding true to the word of God. Lord, thank you for their love for you and for one another in this community and the people on the other side of the world. Lord Jesus, most of all, thank you that we can stand firm in Jesus' name.